Okay, well, I'd like to start by thanking the organisers for scheduling me when everyone's guaranteed to be concentrating. So what I'm going to talk about is a joint project with my student, with Lee Shepperson. Okay, so this is kind of about the generating hypothesis, as you might guess from the title. So my curly F, this is going to be a set of finite p-complete spectra. And so we've got, and so R star is going to be the p-completion of the stable homotopy groups of spheres. And so pi star can be regarded as a functor from this F, so modules over R star. And so Freud conjectured a long time ago in the 60s pi star is faithful. So if you've got a morphism in F such that pi star of it is zero, then the morphism itself was actually zero. So I think it's fair to say that no one has any idea how to approach this conjecture. But Freud already realized, and certainly, well, Freud actually formulated this in a sort of integral version. Mark Hovey wrote a paper quite recently which sort of showed how to interface the p-complete and the integral versions. So there's not really much difference, but the p-complete story is a bit technically cleaner. So. So anyway, there's a bunch of consequences that Freud already knew of this conjecture. And so this project that I've been working on is just to sort of examine some of those consequences and see whether they seem reasonably plausible or not. So what are these consequences? Well, most of this, like I say, is known to Freud, or maybe just slightly adjusted by Hovey to the p-complete situation. So first main consequence is that pi star is also full, and therefore F is equivalent to some category of R star modules. And not just any R star modules, but in fact pi star X is injective as an R star module, for all X and F. And so in particular, so R star is injective as a module over itself. In other words, it's self-injective. And the third thing is that R star is what I call totally incoherent. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, coherent means that, that finitely generated ideals are finitely presented. So, of course. So, in particular, I mean, well, all Noetherian rings are coherent. Polynomial ring and infinitely many variables over the integers is also coherent. those, I guess, are the kind of main examples. And so, totally incoherent means that the only finitely presented ideals zero and R star itself. So this total incoherence is actually a fairly straightforward consequence of the fact that there's the image of this pi star, that's going to be equivalent to F, and so in particular it's triangulated. And so just having a triangulated category of modules is enough to force this total incoherence. Notice, in fact, I mean that's already quite a remarkable thing. I mean, what triangulated categories do you know? Mostly they're kind of homotopy categories, you know, maybe stable module categories where you sort of factor something out. But to have an actual category of modules that's triangulated without passing to any kind of homotopy is very unusual. Okay, so, but what about this self-injectivity thing? You see, I mean, what self-injective thing rings do we know? I mean, it's an easy fact that if you're Noetherian and self-injective, well, that implies you're Artinian. Which, roughly speaking, means very small. Okay, so sort of typical examples of self-injective rings are finite dimensional algebras over a field with Poincaré duality, or just Z mod NZ itself. That's also self-injective. but of course, the homotopy groups are spheres. I mean, this R star is nothing like that. R star is very large and has very few kind of finiteness properties. So we can ask, I mean, you know, is this at all plausible that R star could be self-injective? And so when I started thinking about this, at least, I couldn't find anywhere in the literature any sort of examples of large self-injective rings. So that's actually the main thing that we did in this project, was just to look for some interesting examples. but so this talk will contain, I guess, one theorem mostly, and one theorem that's not an example, and the rest is just examples. But here's this theorem that's not an example, at least I found extremely extremely surprising when I first worked it out, although it's not too hard to prove. So let's let R, for the rest of this talk, R star is just an arbitrary sort of ring. R star be a connected graded algebra of finite type over Z mod 2. So this is not really very essential, but we've basically just been working everywhere over Z mod 2 for convenience. and suppose I've got some n bigger than 0. Okay. Then there exists an injection from R into R prime, such that R prime I is equal to RI for I less than N, and R prime is self-injective. So there's no shortage of large self-injective rings, you know. Any ring like this, we can embed in one. And we can embed it, you know, we only have to adjust it in high dimension. So so one consequence of that, of course, is that if you get, apart from the fact that I said this Z mod 2, but never mind. this is kind of telling us that we can't really decide about the generating hypothesis by calculating in a finite range of dimensions, because, information about a finite range of dimensions in the homotopy of spheres won't tell you about whether it's self-injective or not. So I thought I'd outline how we prove this. and so we need just a few definitions. So I've got a pair of vectors. Okay, so I mean R to the m is just the mth power of R. So we've got two vectors of length m in R with compatible degrees. So a transporter is some T and R with TU equals V. And a block is some x in R of the m, so whose inner product with u is 0, and the inner product with v is not 0. So it's pretty easy to see that if you've got a block, you can't have a transporter. So uv is good if it has either a block or a transporter. And so the lemma then is that R star is self-injective. let me state a few more conditions. So the following are equivalent. Every test pair is good. If I is finitely generated, and I've got some I's including an R, this is just the inclusion, and then this is some arbitrary homomorphism of R modules from I into R, then there exists a G here. And then C is the same for arbitrary I, and then D is that R is self-injective. So written in this form, it more or less proves itself. The relation between A and B, your list U is just the list of generators of I, and your list V is the images of I and of the U's under F, and you just apply the test pair criterion to that. That shows that A is equivalent to B. Between B and C is some kind of lim 1 argument, just writing I as some union of finitely generated ideals, and then passing to a limit using the fact that we've got finite type, and then C to D is is just Zorn's lemma. That's called Baer's criterion. Okay, so then once we have that formulation, then this theorem about embedding in self-injective rings is not very hard. So the proof of this kind of embedding theorem will, given a pair UV with no transporter, then I just adjoin indeterminates x1 up to xm in high dimension modulo the relation that the inner product of x with u should be 0, and then we just check that the inner product of x with v is non-zero. So we have a block, and then you just iterate, and well, there's some bookkeeping to be done, but basically you just adjoin blocks everywhere that you need them. Okay, so that's good, but would be nice rather than just having this abstract construction to see whether we can just write down some self-injective rings. Okay, I mean the so what examples can you do? Well, I mean the first example is just that you can do you can do a kind of infinitely generated exterior algebra. But then, but of course, this is just kind of far too regular to be, you know, anything like anything that you might see from the Homotopy of spheres. So you want to see, you know, but it's kind of quite difficult once you start, if you start just playing with it, to sort of write down anything where you introduce any more interesting relations and still maintain self-injectivity. but here is another example that you can just write down. So I give myself a generator yi in dimension 2 to the I, and then I kill off y0 cubed plus y0 y1, y1 cubed plus y1 y2, I kill off the sequence of generators of relations like this. So now it's a theorem that this R star is self-injective and coherent. Okay, so this is good and bad, of course. I mean, on the one hand, you know, it's nice that we found sort of this you know, large and rather interesting self-injective ring, but of course we're sort of really looking for things which might have something to do with stable homotopy, in which case you'd expect them to be totally incoherent. But this one is actually coherent. So in fact, I mean, quite a lot of the work that we've done on this project is to do with the structure theory of this ring. There's lots of stuff you can do with it. we've in terms of general methods. I mean, you can do. So if I just. One thing I'll say is that so we've got these generators yi, but then we've also got these alternative generators where xi plus 1 is going to be yi squared plus yi plus 1, so that the relations that we're looking at are just that yi plus 1 times yi is equal to 0, and then we could we set x naught to be y naught as well. So we can describe everything in terms of the y's or in terms of the x's, and there are different term orders that you can introduce on these things. So you can write everything in terms of x's or y's, and you can order them in different ways, and you can use the whole theory of Grobner bases. We've done quite a bit of that to illuminate what's going on. So I'll just tell you a few facts about the structure of this ring. So one basis you can use, you can use monomials in the y's for which all these exponents alpha I are at most 2. or another one, you can look at, what do I want to say. I want to say yi1 to the n1, yi2 to the n2, to yir to the nr, where so nt is strictly less than 2 to the power it plus 1 minus it minus 1. Okay. So these are the sort of canonical basis with respect to different term orders in the Grosvenor basis technology. And you learn different things by using those two different bases. Another thing that you can do is to look at this subring Rn n star. Okay, so this is okay. So you have the first n generators, first n relations. okay, so it's not absolutely immediate, but true that this ring is actually a subring of this injects into my R star. Okay, so this is this thing turns out to be a free module over the polynomial algebra just on this single generator yn on monomials. Y naught to the alpha naught up to yn minus 1 to the alpha n minus 1 with these alpha i's at most 2. Okay, so in other words, it's a free module of finite rank over this this polynomial ring. and rn bar is defined to be just this r square bracket n, and then I kill off this yn. Okay, so this is then a Poincaré duality algebra. So that's finite dimensional over F2 with Poincaré duality. So in particular, I mean this R bar N is self-injective for trivial reasons, the proof that R is self-injective kind of it works in the of course R, I mean this Rn is Rn, R bar N and R all agree through a range of dimensions that increases with N, so you've got some kind of test pair in R and you leverage the comparison with R bar N to prove that R is self-injective. Also, we can think about Rn plus 1 now as a kind of slightly cunning way that we can arrange the description of this. This can be obtained from Rn, well, most obviously by adjoining Yn and then imposing a relation, but we can also think of it as being obtained by adjoining, Yn plus 1, but we can also think of it as being obtained by adjoining Xn plus 1. And in this description, we see that this is a expand everything in powers of xn plus 1, and then the coefficients of non-trivial powers of xn plus 1. I mean, we can kill off the yn there because yn annihilates it. So, and so we end up, we have this. okay, so let's say this. So, suppose I've got some U in RK, to the n. Well, I can consider I can consider the annihilator of U RK to the M, and this will map to the annihilator of U in R bar K to the M, and then the lemma says that the claim that this ring R is coherent reduces to the statement that this annihilator in RK maps onto the annihilator in R bar K, and then this can be sort of proved by a somewhat intricate, somewhat lengthy and intricate argument, just sort of messing about with the structure theory of the ring R, but. So that's kind of an interesting example. And that's about as good as we can do with these kinds of connected graded rings, which somehow the sort of focus of attention is being most closely related to the motivating problem in stable homotopy. But we do have a bunch of other rather interesting examples that are not connected graded. So I'll tell you about a couple of those. So one thing we can do is a certain we look at the homotopy of the E1 local sphere. It turns out that that's not quite self-injective and we have to adjust it just a little bit, but let's see what this looks like. Okay, so this is generated, so the unit map eta from the p-local integers to pi 1, so p is going to be odd here. There's another isomorphism which I'll call zeta from Q mod ZP local to pi minus 2. And then there are elements alpha I dimension 1 less than twice p minus 1 I. The orders of those are p to the power 1 plus the valuation of I. Ring structure is given by alpha I times alpha minus I is zeta of 1 over p to the 1 plus vpi. and otherwise, kind of, well, uninteresting, let's say. Got enforced via formal things. So I can define a new ring R star just by replacing the P local integers by the P adic integers. So notice that this isn't completion. It's neither ordinary completion nor derived completion, because I have to leave the Q mod Z P local alone. Right? I don't touch the Q mod Z P local. If I completed it, I would get zero. If I did some derived completion, then the Q mod Z P local would shift degrees by one and become a P adic. I'm not doing either of those. So this is a somewhat kind of ad hoc modification. you can check that this R star is it is self-dual. It's Pontryagin self-dual, and therefore it's self-injective. I mean, this, for any ring R star, this kind of Pontryagin dual thing will be injective in an R star module. So here we see that R star is self-injective. And it's also totally incoherent. So that's kind of interesting. on the other hand, I mean, it is known that the E1 local E1 local generating hypothesis is false. I don't know exactly how these facts interact. I mean, I don't know whether there's a category of R star modules. Yeah. So now what's I'm forgetting what's the exact statement. Ethan proved something, but what he proved is not. What he proved is kind of. It's related to the generating hypothesis. It's in the E1 local category, but it doesn't say that the E1 it's not the obvious analog of the E1 local generating hypothesis. So that's one interesting example. another interesting example is what I'll call an infinite root algebra. Okay. Suppose I've got an expression f is the sum for Q is in the unit interval intersect the rationals, say A Q X to the Q. so then this, by the support of F, I just mean the set of those Q for which A Q is non-zero. So this is a subset, obviously, of the rationals. So it's ordered. let's let R prime just be the set of those F for which the support. Here these AQs. Well, again, let's just take them to be in Z mod 2. So if we look at the kind of thing where we require the support to be finite, well, then this is just kind of a union of truncated polynomial algebras. And each of those truncated polynomial algebras is self-injective. And it kind of feels as though R prime ought to be self-injective. But But there's this kind of general phenomenon that self-injective things sort of need to be quite complete. And we had this over here. We had to replace the P-locals by the P-addicts, and if we didn't do that, it wouldn't be self-injective. So we need some kind of completion of R prime. Sorry? it's just the obvious. Okay, so you're supposed to interpret x to the q as 0 for q bigger than 1. So that's why I say it's like a truncated polynomial ring. So you have to complete it, and you can try and sort of fiddle with it. There are some fairly obvious kinds of completions that you can impose on this thing, but none of them turn out to be complete enough. But then the right thing to do is actually rather curious, which is R is the set of those F for which the support of F is well ordered. So every subset of the support has the smallest element. So notice this is pretty complicated, right? I mean, it's not very hard, not too hard to see that for any ordinal, any countable ordinal can be embedded in the rational rational unit interval, right? So we can have the order type of the support can be an arbitrary countable ordinal. So it's a theorem that R is so this R is self-injective and totally incoherent. okay, so so that, for this, you can actually classify all the ideals in this ring, but not very hard. So there's the principal ideals generated by x to the q, say, because every element is a unit multiple of some power of x. So the only principal ideals you need are these, and the only non-principal ideals you need are these jq's, which is just generated by all the x to the q for generated by all the x to the p for p strictly bigger than q. But again, there's no good triangulated category of modules over this R. Okay, I think I won't make a won't make a completely precise statement about that. But you want to have you want to build a triangulated category, well, at least it should contain all the finitely generated free modules, and the exact triangles should all be exact sequences, and that already creates a contradiction. So we don't yet have a good kind of general understanding of what more we need beyond self-injective and totally incoherent in order to have a triangulated category. So now I'm going to discuss a couple more examples that that actually aren't self-injective, but they have a sort of a weaker property. So so it's a fairly straightforward fact that if R is self-injective and I is finitely generated, then the double annihilator of I, the annihilator of the annihilator, is just equal to I again. So So I'm going to consider certain rings that have a basis of monomials. And so those rings, this property will be satisfied for finitely generated monomial ideals, which kind of suggests that there's kind of, some interesting sort of flavor of a kind of phenomena that come up with self-injectivity in these rings, although they aren't actually, as soon as you start looking at elements that aren't monomials, then the self-injectivity properties get destroyed. So the first example I want to consider involves something called the Rado graph. So the vertex set is the natural numbers. And there's an edge from I to J if 2 to the I occurs in the binary expansion of J. Or vice versa. I write J as a sum of powers of 2, and if one of those powers of 2 is 2 to the I, then so now I form an algebra. I have generators xi for every natural number. I kill off all the squares, and then I also kill off the product xi xj if there's no edge. So if you think about it, that means I have one sort of basis element for each finite complete subgraph of the Rado graph. Let me just say that. So for K, a finite complete subgraph So for each finite complete subgraph, then the kind of corresponding just exterior algebra embeds as a subring of Q. So if I is generated by finitely many monomials, or by a subset of one of these QKs, then I is its own double annihilator. Okay, so I should just say a couple of things about what's the story with this Rado graph. So it's also a fact. I don't know how to prove this, but I believe that it's true. I have read that it's true, but so firstly, a large class of countable random graphs. isomorphic to the Rado graph with probability 1. So although this kind of seems like a rather specific construction, it's in some sense the Rado graph is just a very generic graph. And also, and back to okay, given finite graphs, say G prime contained in G, and so certainly every finite graph embeds, and also if you've got an embedding of a finite graph and then you want to extend it over a bigger finite graph, then you can do that. these are kind of embeddings in the sort of proper sense, when I say a graph's embedded, I mean if there's an edge in the small graph, then there's an edge in the big graph, but also if there isn't an edge in the small graph, then there isn't an edge in the big graph. So that's what we can do with the Rado graph. So my feeling is that there ought to be some kind of more complicated thing along the same lines that actually gives you a self-injective ring, we've not succeeded in finding that yet. But I will tell you one other thing that we can do. Here, of course, we killed off the squares of everything. That, again, is something that we'd rather not do if we're wanting to sort of make something look a bit like the stable homotopy of spheres, where things can be nilpotent of high order. It turns out that in order to cure that, we again find ourselves looking at the arithmetic of ordinals and so on. so let me tell you a bit about that. Okay, so... So for any ordinal alpha, you see the Rado graph was constructed using base 2 expansions, but now I want to use base omega expansions. So alpha is omega to the beta 1 n1 plus omega to the beta r nr, where so nr is a positive integer, and I'll write them in decreasing order maybe, so beta 1, these should be strictly decreasing, beta r. And of course, alpha is going to be bigger than alpha will be greater than or equal to all the betas. so epsilon naught is the smallest ordinal with epsilon naught is equal to omega to the epsilon naught. Okay, so epsilon naught is just sort of defined as omega to the omega to the omega to the omega, to the omega sort of thing, so that it's sort of forced to be like that. This is a countable ordinal. So now I'm going to define this ring R star. So I've got a generator X alpha for each alpha less than epsilon naught. N is going to be the coefficient of omega to the beta in alpha. So, in particular, if the I want a plus one. In particular, if omega to the beta doesn't appear in kill off these products x alpha x beta if omega to the beta doesn't occur in alpha, but if it does occur, then I truncate at this at this level n plus 1. And not, I'll just say this can be given a sensible finite type grading. So this is the main thing that we know about this ring, that if you've got the finitely generated monomial ideals, then the then they're equal to their own double annihilator. And that's pretty much what we know, so I will stop there.